The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It is a football Friday where sports betting lives. Glad to have you. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Middleton, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. What's happening, man?
Not much. Not much. Loaded show is always on Fridays here.
Loaded. Let me just give you the second hour first. Chris Velika, Steve Fezzik, Dr. Bob. Bam!
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's only 1 hour of the show. Paul Carr with his Premier League picks, always moving the chains forward with his bets. Jason Weingarten will join us. We'll do Are We Sure in the NFL. We'll talk about our bets as well. And obviously we want to talk Jets and Patriots, but on a football Friday, we have to make an exception at the start of this show because we have to talk about what Shohei Ohtani did yesterday. And I am, if nothing else, a baseball nerd. So when these things happen, I just have to stop and talk about him. Shohei Ohtani, of course, everybody knows by now, unless you were trapped under a heavy object, 50-50, the first 50-50 player, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases in the history of Major League Baseball. He does so in even more dramatic fashion than the night that he got to 40-40. The night that he got to 40-40, he got to the 40th home run with a grand slam walk-off. Last night, he arguably gets to 50-50 with, you ready for this? The greatest single performance, perhaps, in the history of Major League Baseball. That is not an exaggeration in one ball game. That is not an exaggeration. First of all, let me just say this. 3 home runs and 2 stolen bases. Let's say you just landed on Shohei yesterday.
Yeah.
And he had 3.
That's the big one. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had 3 homers and 2 stolen bases. That had not been done since, I think, 1901, they said, the beginning of the 20th century. That's the first time that's happened since. When I was a kid, like, I remember there was.
So it's never been done by Kelly Bidlin rules.
By your rules.
By,
what is the word? Was life?
Prohibition.
Prohibition is where life cuts off.
Exactly. Yeah.
I see.
Stats can only be counted after prohibition.
So there's God, there's evolution, and then there's the Bidlinism.
That's
it
right.
Just starts after prohibition. I see. So anyway, that alone, right? Like when I was a kid, I remember there was a baseball card, Nate Colbert, who used to play for the Padres. He had 5 homers in a doubleheader, and they made a dedicated baseball card just about that one game. They would have made a dedicated baseball card just about the fact that he had 3 homers and 2 stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
So Shohei ends up, forget about that, he ends up with 10 RBI in the Dodgers route
10
of the Marlins. 10 RBI, 6 hits. 6 for 6, I should say, 5 extra base hits, including the 3 homers and the 2 stolen bases. Only one player has ever done all of that, as you might imagine, in one baseball game, and that is the great Shohei Ohtani, who stole his 50th base after a double to start off the festivities for him, had another double after that. He also got his 51st stolen base uncontested on his next at-bat when he had a single. And then his last three at bats were homer 49, 2-run shot, homer 50, oppo, 2-run shot. And then just for good measure, a 51st jack. He's now 51-51, 55-55 maybe by the end of the season.
Yeah, for real, man.
It's just incredible. And the Dodgers, by the way, headed to the postseason, of course.
Do you think
Shohei's first ever?
Just 2 things quick. I don't know what it is about Shohei, but like every time he comes up in one of these at bats that we're all like sitting there, right? Where you're like, this could be history. And it's just, he has the same facial expression. It's just like, yeah, I'm just going to go out here and hit this home run. It's just wild, man. And the fact that this guy's just going to be pitching next
year. This is the final point I wanted to make. Like the discussion of, is he the greatest player of all time? And you know how I feel about Barry Lamar Bonds, but you can't even have the discussion. Shohei is a Cy Young level pitcher.
Yeah.
It's not even the same thing. He does both things at an elite level and...
Gil, y'all told me the guy was going to pitch and hit. Like, you didn't tell me he was going to steal 50 bags in a season too. Like, what the heck? Like, it's incredible.
It's incredible.
Do you think you always do a great job breaking down the stats with like the multiple home run games and cycles and everything? Would you rather have one of those home runs taken back to have the cycle to just say like this was the greatest baseball
That's a good question. Like, would I have traded the 51st homer for a triple? Probably.
Right. Yeah, probably.
You stink, Shohei.
Because it'd be like slam dunk the greatest game ever that nobody can ever top.
I don't know that we'll ever see this beaten. I really don't.
And then you were laughing at
this
me.
This is a good month for certain major league players. 10 RBI, 3 homers, right. 2 stolen bases. Like, that's a good month for a lot of players.
We're laughing pre-show. I didn't see it till this morning, but how close the guy was to grabbing the 50th home run, and then it falls down.
For the rest
Gotta lay out for it, buddy.
For the rest of his life, he is going to have that question rattling around inside his dome. Of should I have laid out more?
Should I have fallen 6 feet to concrete but caught the ball?
And if he's super introspective, he's going to be like, "What does this say about me that I didn't do it in that moment?"
I'll just tell you, Gil, I'm diving for the concrete to make that catch.
You totally.
Oh, I'm going over that rail for that ball.
Bloodied Kelly Bidlin.
I mean, of course, I would not come away with it. I would just be bloodied on the concrete with like a broken arm.
Kelly Bloodlin. Shohei Ohtani, tip of the cap. What do you say? What do you say? And he's headed to the postseason for the first time in his career. Of course, he didn't sniff it with the Angels. So I don't know that Felix is coming on later. Of course, I'm going to ask him. I'll be like, you still think Lindor is going to be MVP? I think I have to have that conversation with him. But that's just incredible. You have to lead off because juxtaposed against that football game last night, that absolutely has to be your lead. I was wrong about the Pats. I was right about the under. That ended up being one of my Megapod best bets as well. The Jets beat the Patriots last night 24-3 in a game that might as well have been 48-3. Like, that was just such a stomping. And I don't know where Jets good, Pats bad begins and ends, but certainly Pats bad, right? They couldn't tackle. They looked tired. Jacoby Brissett was 12 of 18 for 98 yards. They were outgained. I'll just go to the team stats because the individual stats don't do it justice. Jets had 27 first downs. The Pats had 11. The Jets were 10 of 15 on third down. The Patriots were 2 of 11 on third. And total yards, 400 to 139. Oh, my God. 400 to 139. By the way, the passing yards, 267 to 61 when you factor in the stats. And then the time of possession, 40 minutes and 4 seconds to 1956.
That was wild.
You get the idea. And if you could have endured the 3-hour slurp of Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit on Aaron Rodgers, then you watch this entire game. That was a little much, by the way. The 3-hour slurp. I was like, okay, enough. But now, I hope we put the Achilles thing to bed, ladies and gentlemen, for both Cousins and Rodgers. I hope we can do that now after their last performances. But this is, I'm glad we mentioned this, that 2 weeks ago, you know, we would have thought this outcome would have happened. Mm-hmm. And so while I was able to get the under, easy peasy, the notion that the Patriots could have covered here, apparently, I let recency bias get the best of me because that's the Jets team that we expected.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll talk about it from a betting perspective. We'll talk about this for the next, few weeks. But it is always the, hey, when do you come off your priors, right? And when do your priors still hold true? Like you said, we would have said this box score seems very likely a few weeks ago. So I'm kind of with you. I don't really know how much you put in the, okay, Jets good versus Patriots bad, but it was we did at least expect the Patriots to be bad this season.
Yes.
I don't know that I was expecting within the first few weeks to see one of the best Aaron Rodgers games that I've seen in years.
He was great.
He was awesome.
He was absolutely great. He looked every bit as sharp as you could have possibly expected from him. On the run, he looked sharp, made all the right decisions. He seemed to know, of course, in Aaron Rodgers fashion, what was happening pre-snap. But the Patriots just didn't look like they were ready to play football last night. They really didn't. And I will say this, and we have no idea. Here's the thing. When Thursday night football happens, we don't know what percentage of players played the Jets in Survivor. There's 3,800 left in Circa Survivor specifically. I'm going to guess, this is just a guess, I could be way off, but I'm going to guess about 10% of the pool had the Jets.
You think it's that high?
I think it's going to be 300 or 400. Okay. I do. I think I know a lot of people are like, well, it's Thursday. It's going to mute it, anyway, naturally. I do think that's the case. But I think about 300 probably took a shot on them. I've gotten a few tweets about it. And good on you guys for doing it. And now you get to sit back and watch everybody else endure.
Yeah.
That's the other thing about Survivor, too. And I'll have this talk with Fezzik later in that second hour. Because Fezzik's theory is this is not going to go the distance. And I had a brief conversation with Derek Stevens yesterday on my way out. And I disagree entirely because just because the rate of carnage that has existed so far has been the case doesn't mean it's a predictor of future carnage. So this could be a week where everybody wins. We don't know. Maybe the Bengals win. Maybe the Browns win. Maybe everybody who's going to be a top pick gets there.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you know one of those weeks is coming. You know what I mean? For yes. Whatever you want to say about
it, always does.
Yeah, for whatever you want to say about the entire season, it's not going to be carnage after carnage. Nope. After carnage after carnage.
It doesn't, and you will see it in the percentage that while this year is the most carnage through 2 weeks, that a couple other seasons in the brief 5-year history of Circus Survivor actually gains ground this coming week. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Bottom line, the Jets are still the second short shot now to win the AFC East behind the Bills. The Bills are still the short shot, but then there's the Jets. And then there's a big gap between the Bills and the Jets, and then the Dolphins, who are distant single digits, and the Patriots, obviously, in a world of their own. Do you think the Jets should be the short shot, or you're a Bills guy, so you probably think the Bills should be?
Yeah, I'll have to remove a question from "Are we sure?"
Oh, but
no, you're okay.
There I go, killing other segments.
No, I think this goes back to our priors, right? Like, you know, I will stick by what I said all summer. I've never been against the Bills as long as Josh Allen's there. Do I think the Jets are the best team in the AFC East, though? Yeah, I do.
And we thought that before the season.
I still think that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I still think. I think that again, once again, after last night.
Yeah. Could the Jets be, you know, 1-2 and not 2-1? Absolutely, but they're not. They banked the 2 wins, and good on them. They're 2-1 with now extra rest headed into next season. My biggest single takeaway from this segment, I always like to review the segment before we go. The world began at Prohibition, everybody.
That's right. No, sports stats did.
Shohei, man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wild. What do you say? And I cannot wait for it. By the way, the other things happened. The Twins lost for our Tigers bet yesterday. That's awesome. And Mets still 2 ahead of the Braves in our other make the playoffs, miss the playoffs bet. So that's good. Premier League with Paul next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Secret barbecue.
Take your
place.
Betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet. Not now, Steve. It's coming up. From Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, Steve Fezzik standing by. A couple of tweets first, though. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Last Name Nash. I'm sorry, but pickleball is for people who are too lazy to play a real court sport like tennis. Willing to die on this hill with you, Gilly. Thank you, Last Name Nash. I feel very strongly about this subject as they keep destroying tennis courts and putting in pickleball courts everywhere. That was it. Judd O'Connor. Dr. Bob gave out a wazoo 2 weeks ago, praying for another easy winner this Saturday. I believe that Dr. Bob is undefeated on a numbers game this year. Even Pitt came back with the miraculous Eli Holstein comeback this past week. So I think Bob is, at least on the show, I know he's not in real life, but on this show, it's magic, and I don't think he's missed a play yet. We'll confirm that. So Wazoo was easy peasy. There's another tweet here that I want to find here as I bring in, ladies and gentlemen, the great Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton, Super Contest back in the day. Still the 21st century when he won it. No jokes from everybody. I know some people are like, hey, wasn't that around the 20th century? No, still this century. Steve joins us now, not courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, but in studio. How you doing, man?
So already one interruption. The great Todd Wishnev would be proud.
We got a tweet. You have to tell me if this is, I know we have a lot to talk about, but we got a tweet from Keith Kingston. And you have to tell me if this is true or not. He says that the Stardust Invitational, early 2000s, Fezzik went in disguise. Is this a true story?
True story.
Wearing a Vikings jersey, who were at San Diego that week. The Vikings were like 8-0, he says. San Diego was 0-8, catching 5. Fezzik said, you like the Vikings? And then he rips off his shirt, throws it into the Stardust crowd watching, and says, you can have them. I'm going San Diego. Gives his reasoning. San Diego not only covered, they won outright. Is that true?
Yeah, so that Stardust Invitation was a whole lot of fun. Mark Lawrence defeated me in one of the finals. I was a 2-time finalist, 0-time champion.
Oh.
But it, this shows the vagaries of the industry. It's like 2004, all right? And I go 1-5-1, and I'm like immediately annihilated on, you know, social media. But Ed Sammons, very sharp handicapper at the Westgate still, went 1-6. So I actually advance, survive and advance the very next week.
Yeah.
7-0, the only guy to do it other than Kevin O'Neill, who had done it before me. And so I never get to play that next week, if not for the Ed Sammons collapse that week.
Ed Sammons, we didn't mean to bring you up in that context, but there it is.
Ed Sammons is very respected throughout the industry.
Yes, and so, absolutely. So, yes. By the way, we have the Matt Eumanns Invitational here, the Friday Football Invitational. You haven't been following the standings there at all, have you?
I've been too busy to pay any attention. So I think that's available at VSiN if you want to follow who might be ahead.
Are you in first by any chance?
Coincidentally, yes. We're only one eighth of the way in.
Not that you were aware.
It's early though.
It's hella early, as the kids say.
Yes.
Okay. There's a couple other things. First of all, thank you for that note about the Jets survivor thing. You're absolutely right. If the percentage offshore as a gauge is 16% right now, that's obviously only the entries that have come in before Thursday. And as the rest of the balance of the entries, which is going to be a majority of them, come in before Sunday, that percentage is going to reduce. I want to bring this up with you because you famously said this week you think survivor might not go the distance this year.
Yes, because basically my pricing is really simplistic, that I say every 2 weeks we lose half the field. OK, if you have a 70% chance of winning each and every week,
yeah,
obviously a 49% chance to win back to back weeks. So that would project that there would be maybe around 5 survivors. All right. However, I think that is wildly optimistic.
Mm.
Given my power ratings, there's more parity in the NFL than there has ever been. The best team in the NFL right now, Kansas City Chiefs, 49ers, so whoever you want to put, they're like 5 points better than an average team. Most years, I have teams that are like 7 or 7.5 points better. So there's nobody who's really separated themselves. So it's going to be very difficult to find 70% plays on average each and every week.
That's interesting. So this does not refute what you were saying. I put together this little thing. I ran into Derek at the end of the show yesterday. And so this is just because this is through 2 weeks, it's the biggest percentage ever knocked out through, you know, in this early stage of the season. But by number, right, because it's 14,266 entries, what you'll see in this graphic here is the percentage of entries knocked out in each of the first two weeks of the 5 years of Survivor. And then to the right of that in parentheses are the number of entries that are left. So even though if you go to the bottom here, even though after week two, 72.8% the record through 2 weeks of 2024 Circus Survivors are out, Circus Survivor entries are out, it still means that there are more entries singularly left, you know, at least right now than there ever have been. Now, we'll see if it gets below the 29.17 from 2021 after week three, or the 24.79 that were left after week three last year. But they're still, you know, and all of these previous ones have gotten to the end, right? They never ended beforehand in various forms. Sometimes it's 5 people. Sometimes the first year it was like 35 people got to the end. But I don't know, from a sheer entry standpoint, If history is any indication, and I understand what you're saying because that would be a difference, but if history is any indication, we probably do get to the end.
Yeah, I still project we get to the end, and we have a few
just
winners.
With 5.
Yeah. And but what's critical, obviously, is for me to be right that there's only going to be a few winners. I'm going to need one of the biggest favorites to go down.
Yes.
You know, and that will wreak havoc later in the year, especially the Christmas and the Thanksgiving weeks, that if you get like if Dallas loses to the Giants, whammo, there goes 3/4 of the remainders.
Whammo. What game show was that? Whammo?
I think it was like a Powerball.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
It was some game show. Whammo. Okay, like last week. So last week you came in here and you gave, that was before week two, you gave a pick for week three. And you were ahead of the line. Remember the game?
Vikings +4.
That's right.
Reduced VIG.
Yes.
So now the Vikings, Houston, everyone is debating, you know, wait a minute, Houston's like a 1.5, 2-point favorite. You know, who do we like? Do I have to pay $40? No, because I gave it out last week.
Right.
There will be no fine, Will Hill.
No,
you just work on that Bet More, Win More podcast of yours. So we got the +4 in pocket that we disclosed last
week
on Vikings.
And now it's less than 3. Okay, you have a similar thing for week 4?
Yes. And so what's happening, the scuttlebutt this week, a lot of people following Jordan Love, Green Bay. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? He's not playing. It's a fugazi, people. That's we bet Tennessee. We're happy with Tennessee. That's a fine because the line's gone up. Okay, I still would like Tennessee minus 2.5. But the key here is that the fact that Love shows up at practice and is pretending to play makes it more likely he actually is going to play key division game next week. So forget week 3. Forget Green Bay week 3. Let's look to Green Bay week 4, where we are going to go against the Vikings. Now we're going to take the Packers, huge home field at home, -2.5, and bonus play. We're going to play over 42.5. Oh. These are both available at DraftKings and at Bet Rivers as we speak right now. I've already bet substantially on this myself. I bet it over at the Westgate. And I would be I'd be shocked if Love didn't play week 4. So we're going to get on this before the line goes up above 3, and we're going to lay 2.5 and over 42.5.
That's the working assumption that Jordan Love will be playing next week. And if Jordan Love doesn't play next week, then all this is
I have
terrible
bad bets,
advice.
But I believe 90% Love will play. Okay. 90%.
And yeah, it was never really going to happen this week either.
Exactly. And I'm the guy that was screaming. Literally, I was doing a live show and money started. I really think and this happens to me in the NBA, where I'm not living and breathing it. And I see, LeBron James has been upgraded to questionable. And quick, bet the Lakers. That's what happened with the odd screens. And I was like, this is a fugazi. He's not playing, you know, and yet all these money, the B bettors are betting +2.5 on Green Bay this week against Tennessee when they could be getting 3 at post.
What is your Circa Millions record right now?
I have 5 entries, and the best one's 5-4-1. I think the worst one is 3-7.
Oh, a slow start.
Impossible to do well in Circa Millions. I think the consensus is 1-9. So if you play good numbers, you are not going to be doing well. By contrast, in the Westgate contest, I've got a couple entries 7-3, most of them 6-4. And why have I done better? Just because the way that they've shaded their numbers has been much more favorable to a guy like me that won't play a bad number in a contest.
And we said this last week that your strategy of the way that you play, and again, for those who missed it, Steve is really looking to play you're always looking to get the best of the number, not only in real life, but in these contests. And you play it in a way that has more often than not gotten you to be very competitive. He won 2, obviously. But last year you finished a dismal 24th, was it?
21st,
even worse.
Faded
last year.
Miserably down the stretch, picking 50% the final 4 weeks.
But it doesn't always work, right? There are some years where the best of it, number-wise, doesn't manifest.
Absolutely.
They have
100%.
To do their job, too. So when we come back, more with Fezzik, including why he feels so strongly about the Chargers this week. Get his entire dissertation on this on the other side. Steve Fezzik on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game on a Football Friday where sports betting lives. Gil Alexander live from Circa Sports Resort Casino. It's a resort / casino. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. X_spurt. That guy says, Mr. Fezzik looks harmless on video. I sense that is possibly a mistaken first impression. Here's the thing with Stevie. He is harmless, except if he senses an edge he needs to exploit anywhere on planet Earth, he cannot physically restrain himself. Is that a good description of you?
And just to double down on that, if I feel I've been wronged by a sports book, they are in my crosshairs, and I will do anything imaginable to get blood out of a turnip.
He's a hellish,
to crush that book.
Hellish human being at that point. 3Jack H3131. Gil, wait, you said Bob's not undefeated in real life? So it's the show being run in a parallel fake life universe? Is that why Paul Sporer went 57-1 on the show, but hardly anyone knew it? Now I have to listen to Fezzik. Too much for a Friday. Yes, we had Sporer on the other day, and Kelly and I were both, this is last week we had Sporer on, and people were tweeting wow, Sporer was 6-0 on the show. And Kelly and I were were we here? When did this happen?
I feel bad. All Sporer does is win, but he gives out so many soccer plays. I'm so lazy. I don't know what league these teams play in, so I don't even bother betting them because I have to navigate through, I'm in the wrong league.
You mean Paul Carr, wrong Paul.
Oh, even worse.
Baseball Sporer.
Even worse.
David Newell, if we're talking about who... If we're talking about who was on Shohei first, I pulled a bird move and drafted him for a dollar with my last pick in my fantasy league when he was still in Japan. That is a total Red Auerbach drafting Larry Bird maneuver a year in advance. Good job, David Newell. You win. Keno Walker. Since Kelly brought up the commercial conversation, the Bill 80 commercial has to be top 10. Love it. He's referring, Keno is, to the Bill 80, what's Brent's words? Bill's late nights become your mornings. That kind of thing.
Then and only then can the writing begin.
Where Kelly overacts, he nods like really, it's a great commercial. And finally, Doug Boyle, our survivor pool, which is run by one of your VEASAN staff. Is somebody here running a rogue survivor pool? Has already ended. Started with 46, and after this past week, it was down to two players who decided to cut the pot. Really? They cut a 46-player pot. We already started Survivor 2 with 42 players. Crazy season. There you go. Okay. Before we get to your Chargers dissertation here, why you like them so much this week. And maybe, and by the way, maybe I don't know. Maybe it's a teaser leg. Is it teaser or side?
It's the teaser
leg. Okay, it's the teaser leg. We'll get to that. But Steve makes outlandish comments. He comes on the show and it's like he invented the question mark, to quote the old Austin Powers line. But you take credit for saying pre-flop first, which I've been saying for years, but you're taking credit for, you said it pre-flop.
I've been saying it for decades.
Decades wins. I have not been saying it for decades. So pre-flop as applied to sports betting, obviously it's a poker term. But you want to now go on record and coin another phrase.
Yeah, so we're all familiar with CMOs, collateralized mortgage options.
I don't think we all are, but some are.
Go see The Big Short. Fantastic movie talking about that.
Great book, great movie.
So CSOs, collateralized survivor options.
Explain.
So everyone who's still alive in Circus Survivor has right now a entry that's worth about $3,700, right? And so they quantify the value. And of course, some are worth a little bit more or a little bit less, depending upon whether you've got a good path or a bad path, etc. But as we go deeper and deeper, they become worth $10,000, $50,000. And so we start swapping. So one of the best ways to, if you have a survivor and it's all your own, let's say Gilly has a survivor and I have a survivor. It's like, I'll do a swap. I'll give you 10% of mine. You give me 10% of yours. Mm-hmm. And then we start selling shares of them. These are CSO options. And then people sell options on the options. I get options. I sell them to Bill. Bill Crackman sells them to me. And it's like this big chart where all these different like CMOs, CSOs are being traded back and forth. And you just lose track of what the liabilities and the assets are.
What's the fine? If I hear anybody else saying collateralized survivor options, which, by the way, I don't know if that's going to catch on, Stevie, to be honest with you. But if I do hear it, what's the fine?
So we're going to stop with the fines and we're going to go with royalties.
Oh, okay.
So what we're looking for is royalties. Okay. Moving forward.
Smart. All right. Chargers teaser leg. Why do you love it so?
All right. So it checks all the boxes. So you've got the Wong teaser. That's where we take a +2. Plus or minus a half, so plus one half, a plus two, a plus two and a half. We take a plus one half up to plus seven half. We already like that, all right? By the way, you're going to play a six-point teaser. You got to be playing at minus 120. Can't be laying more than that in Vegas. The teasers are donezo. Every single book now charges more than minus 120, so you have to play it at places like DraftKings or Bookmaker, a place like that that still has the good pricing. Here's why I really like it. I love the West Coast team that has the Kumbaya trip back east. So the Niners famously have done this several times. They spent a week at the Greenbrier in West Virginia.
Yes.
They spent a week in Ohio where they just pounded the two Ohio teams. And it just seems to make so much sense that to avoid all the distractions and just have that week. Now you don't have the excessive travel and everyone can focus in North Carolina and then go to Pittsburgh. So because of that, it's very rare that a team would lay an egg in that situation. Further, I really like the low total being right around 36. And so because of that, I expect a lower scoring game. And I love the way the Steelers are winning, not with offense, run the ball, play really good defense. They get a touchdown. That should be sufficient, not necessary to win the game. So bottom line is, I don't know who's going to win this game. I don't love the Chargers, but I love the final score in this game to be 20-17.
Yeah.
And who cares who wins? Let's tease the Chargers.
Steelers 2-0 with one touchdown, to your point. Okay, totally understand all of that, but you need a dance partner for a teaser leg.
Who now, might there's that be the with? Rub, isn't it?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
So, and you know, I'm going to use the Bengals for my survivor, more than likely, my sole survivor. And
how many did you start with?
Seven. So I'm not the guy to be asking about that. Yeah. So why not just shove all my chips in with the Bengals? But the nice thing about that is because the Bengals game is Monday night, so you can earn off of it. So you could put the Bengals in at your second leg, and then right before kickoff, assuming the Chargers don't charger me, but you know, when Chargers charger, they oftentimes, I know they lost by 40 to the Raiders, but the Chargers used to lose a lot of close games, maybe not so much with Harbaugh, but as long as you get the first leg of the teaser in, now similar to these CSOs, we can just earn off of it because then we can play some Washington +7.5 and we can go ahead and play a little money line with Washington and lock in a profit.
And in those situations where one of the teaser legs is hit and you then can make a decision, what percentage of time do you actually manipulate?
It depends what my numbers say. Yeah. So I actually only make the Bengals a 7-point favorite, but my gut says no way Burrow and company are going 0-3.
Mine too.
They're going to find a way to win. Washington can't score touchdowns. And so because of that, it's a rare case where I like the Bengal teaser, but I actually would look towards Washington +7.5 or more.
Let me ask you this another way. What long teaser leg scares you this week?
Oh, wow. You know, I got to be honest. All of the Wongs scare me. And here's why. Back when, and some people still, there are still -110 pricing out there. Your edge is razor thin, -120. If you play every Wong teaser, and by the way, I've been hearing more and more people misquoting Wong teaser. A 7-point favorite is not a Wong teaser. It has to be a 7.5-point favorite.
Right.
A 6.5-point favorite is absolutely not a Wong teaser, and a road favorite is not a Wong teaser ever. All right.
Ever.
It has to be a home favorite. It has to be -7.5 to -8.5. But because of the razor thin edge that you have at -120, they all scare me. And frankly, it was a huge part of my portfolio when I could lay -110 on teasers. Now it's a very minor part of my portfolio because of that.
Because again, the higher the juice, the more your break even percentage. The higher your break even percentage is, so it just
you're
gets
actually
more
laying
difficult. Yeah.
On each leg -280. So like let's say you teased the Jets last night. Congratulations, you won, but you actually lost, and here's why: because if you played a 6-point teaser on the Jets -280. Are you -120? You really bet, if you bet $2,800 on the Jets, let's assume that was what your bet was, you just won $1,000. And you're like, well, wait, Steve, I don't know if I won or lost. It waits for my second leg. No, it really doesn't. You really have collateralized a $1,000 win, and now you're risking $3,800 on the next leg on whoever you chose. So where I'm going is you could have just played the money line at less than -280, an equivalent bet. Jets had to win and made more money.
I'm sorry. I didn't warn you there was going to be math.
Danger.
Sorry.
Danger, Will Robinson, math.
Before you go, and we always love your appearances here, before you go, are you willing to share a side that you love above all this week?
You know, I just went through all my numbers, and there's only one that my numbers disagree with. So I like the Eagles. It's trending to 3.
Ooh.
So obviously, let's get 3. Might have to lay $1.20 and grade me +3, -120. This is the one game. Look at the season wins for both these teams. I know A.J. Brown is injured, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But Philly is 1-1. New Orleans is 2-0. And everyone's like, well, New Orleans is better than Philly. But the market doesn't believe that because the season win number, you can bet this today, Philly is 10.75, meaning 10.5 juice to the over. New Orleans is 10.5 juice to the under. So the market is emphatically saying Philly is not just better, but they're significantly better than New Orleans. Now, maybe without their number one wide receiver, maybe the teams are almost equal, but it would still point to Philly being the better team catching 3. I know it's a huge home field in New Orleans, and that's a concern, but catching 3 in a good bounce back spot with everyone second guessing your coaching staff, I have to take Philly.
We'll work on your pronunciation of New Orleans. But other than that, I understand everything you're saying. Well, so there it is. So Philadelphia, the one side that you love. And really, beyond that, you don't love anything.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way in terms of just the overall scope. Steve Fezzik, everybody, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. Try not to judge him for how he acts on Twitter. Thank you, sir, as always.
That's Voldemort. That's Voldemort Fezzik.
That's a different person. Steve Fezzik on the show. Dr. Bob on the other side with his college football plays. Undefeated on the show. Next.